You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says goodbye to Michael. Check that Micah Parsons. That's a real quote, by the way. And Goody at Green Bay says hello. And what could only be called the biggest Packers trade since Reggie White. Sports reporter Mike Clemens has the latest from Lambeau. Bucky jumped around last night and kicked off its football season with a less than impressive win. But more importantly, will they be saying goodbye once again to their starting quarterback? We will have an update. There's MAGA problems for Republicans on this news dump Friday. The bad Bradley hangs up her robe on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and Joni Ernst is saying goodbye to the U.S. Senate in Iowa. The GOP is out of sync, we'll discuss. And in hour two, we'll say hello to our old friend and my former broadcasting partner, Kevin O'Connor, a Chicago native now at UW-Milwaukee, to discuss the great Lee Corso saying goodbye to College Game Day. And what's worse, on this Friday, the 29th of August, being a Cowboys fan or being a Bears fan today, can they both kiss their seasons goodbye? Welcome in, everybody, to a special edition of the Todd Allball Show. It is Friday, August 29th, 2025. Glad to have you along. Aaron Zummer is on the board. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite and a particularly great day to be a Packers fan. Busy, busy news and sports day. We're going to get right to it and go live to Lambeau Field in Green Bay. You know him, you love him. Nobody knows the Green Bay Packers beat better than our very own sports reporter, Mike Clemens, who joins us via the phone. Mike, give us the latest on what could only be, I think, in my opinion, characterized as the biggest Packers deal since Reggie White, making Micah Parsons now the highest paid NFL player that is not a quarterback. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
What's amazing about this, Todd, is even though it was in broad daylight, it was still pretty stealth. Because where were you when this thing broke at a little after 4 o'clock last night?
I was running errands. I was to the grocery store, actually, when it broke. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah. You know, but did you see it on your phone? Or,
yeah, no, it popped up my phone. Well, I mean, there was a certain sports reporter that gave me an inside line, and I couldn't air it. But
oh, well, that was me then.
Yeah, that was, and I thought, wow, this will be something if it happens. And then we got done with the show, and shortly thereafter, my phone just started blowing up. And I mean, I'm old enough, Mike, that I was going to school at UW-Platteville when Reggie White came to the Packers, and our communications professor, Krista or C. Ray Coel was her name. She was a devout Christian woman. And when the news came, you know, over the wires at that time in 93, 94, when Reggie White came, and she started saying, we were in class, and she started saying, oh, sweet Jesus, don't let this be true. Oh, because she was from Philadelphia. She was an Eagles fan. So it's one of those things you remember for the rest of your life if you're a Packers fan.
Yeah. Now, you know, one big difference is this is a huge trade. The Packers gave away a lot for this thing to happen. Reggie White was the Packers jumping on this new thing called free agency in the NFL. And they lured him to come here. And I'll never forget, after he met with Ron Wolf and the new head coach, you know, Mike Holmgren, then it's, you know, it's time for dinner. It was kind of late in the day. And the only place left that they could go to was the Red Lobster, which is still here down the street on Lombardi Avenue. You know,
I saw you tweet that out. I'm like, no way. Yeah. They took Reggie White to the Red Lobster.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool if LaFleur and Goody took Micah Parsons to the Red? It's still standing down there.
That would be amazing.
It's not one of the 400 stores that closed. But
right.
Significance. Okay, so Micah Parsons is this guy who's just taken over. The coaches and their jaws drop when they watch the tape. He's a pass rusher. He's the best in the business. He's been doing it now for 3-4 years in a row. As a matter of fact, you know, his averaging over a dozen quarterback sacks a year has only been matched by Reggie White some 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Micah goes to the Cowboys in March. He's on the fifth year of his rookie contract and says, okay, let's kick this up, Jerry. Jerry makes him an offer in March, and then sometime later after that, Parsons says, let's make that a little bit more. because he wants to be the highest paid player ever in the NFL to make that money outside of a quarterback. And then this thing goes on, and then Jerry Jones likes to drag this stuff out.
Yep.
It's, you know, there's a documentary on Netflix that proves that. What, do you remember the game when the Packers played the Cowboys in Texas at the old stadium?
Yep.
It was the night when Terrell Owens poured the popcorn in his face mask.
Yes.
Brett got hurt. Aaron Rodgers came in and looked pretty sharp, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Filling in, but the Cowboys ended up winning. So as timing would have it, I'm leaving the press box after the game, go down to the locker room and talk to the players and coaches. And as the doors open, here comes Jerry Jones, Stephen Jones' son, and the rest of the, you know, Cowboys front office. And we get on, and the doors close, and Jerry turns to Stephen and those other guys and goes, now this is big, right? I mean, this is Cowboys dominate, you know. He's writing headlines. I've been around him two or three. Remember Wade Phillips?
Of course, head coach?
So the Cowboys came up here to Lambeau Field. They lost the game the last minute. It was a big disappointment. And then Jerry makes himself available to the reporters outside the locker room in the hallway, just outside the visitor's locker room. There's 30 or 40 people from Dallas that are there covering him, putting the microphones in him and saying, you know, well, how disappointing is that? Now your season's over. You know, are you going to make changes? And he all but says, yeah, I'm going to fire the guy, you know. And it makes him sit, you know, a veteran like that who eventually went on and got a Super Bowl trophy as the defensive coordinator for the Broncos. So this is the way Jerry Jones is. He's milking it. But at some point, I guess this thing becomes, you know, irreconcilable differences. And the Packers call him, and they give up two first-round picks and Kenny Clark, one of your team leaders, a defensive lineman, going into his 10th season here. And when you're with Brian Gutekunst, I mean, in February, as late as February, we asked him about, would you ever make a big swing at something in free agency? And he said, you know, that's two draft picks. And he's conservative like Ted Thompson. Like,
sure.
You know, it's one player can't win a Super Bowl. You know, you have to build a team. And so, and I can't imagine giving away that many picks. But then it sounds like he changed his tune this week, right?
Yeah, we're talking, by the way, to our great sports reporter here at Civic Media, Mike Clemens, who follows the Packers beat like nobody else. He joins us live via the phone from Lambeau Field. And I know you were there at the presser this week on Wednesday, Mike, when Goody was asked about, you know, not specifically about a player, but what's his take on bold moves? Here's what Goody said on that.
I think you got to, first of all, it's your team and how certainly every decision affects your football team. Obviously, there's so many different factors in it, who the player is, you know, medical, you know, certainly, you know, cap-wise. But, yeah, I think, you know, you have to look at everything. Any opportunity to help your football team, you have to, like, look at and discuss as a group. And we do that all the time. I mean, we do, you know, I mean, it's almost daily, you know what I mean? Like, and you know, I think what someone might consider a bold move, someone else might not. You know what I mean? Like, we signed a practice squad guy today. I might consider that a bold move. You know what I mean? Somebody else might not. So, I think every opportunity that's out there to help your football team, we've always taken a look at, tried to see how it affects us right now, how does it affect us in the future, and make the best decision we can. Sometimes we've been right, sometimes we've been wrong. Sometimes we've taken risks that really worked out for us. Sometimes it didn't. Sometimes we didn't take risks, and we look back and we wish we would have. And sometimes, you know, as Ted used to say, you know, God helps those that can't help themselves a little bit sometimes. So sometimes the best deals you make are the ones you don't, you know. And so you just kind of, I think you weigh everything, and you weigh what is in the moment.
That is general manager for the Green Bay Packers, Brian Gutekunst, on Wednesday. We're talking with Mike Clemens, our sports reporter. That was ahead of this groundbreaking trade that the Packers made yesterday for Micah Parsons from the Cowboys of Dallas. And Mike Clemens, you were in that room. And, I mean, you're around Gutekunst more than anybody, you know, as much if not more than most reporters out there. Did you sense that maybe there was something going on?
No, because I know where his values come in terms of Ted Thompson and Ron Wolf before that. So last night, you know, I thought the story would be Mark Murphy inducted into the Packer Hall of Fame. And so I had an appointment at 4 o'clock, and it was a small press conference we had with Mark before. Then he was going to go out there in front of 1,500 people playing $300 a plate for a fundraiser and for him to be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. So they're talking to him, and, you know, he retired a month ago. He retired a month ago after 17 years as CEO and president. Yep. And during the presser, a guy standing back there by the cameras is looking at his phone and goes, Mark, any comment on the fact that the Packers have now traded for Micah Parsons from the Cowboys? And he goes, what? And then he starts to laugh. He says, I don't know anything about that. I'm not going to comment on anything. He says, that's probably AI, you know? You know, like a fake account or something. Right. And he blows it off. And then a couple of questions later, then the reporter from the Press Gazette, who covers the business end of sports, Rich, is very good at this, and he trusts him. And he says, "Mark, the Press Gazette just confirmed Micah Parsons has been traded to the Packers." And he said, "What'd they get for him?" So I'm like, this guy is stunned.
Right.
He has no idea. He just ran the team for 17 years, and he's out of the loop. And to me, I'm thinking, is this what it's going to be like under Ed Policy, the new president?
Well, that was my follow-up question to you, Mike Clemens, is what your sense of this. Was this Ed Policy saying, I want to put my fingerprint on this right away? Was this something that kind of been in the works for Gutekunst? Where did this come from? Any sense?
I don't know yet. Yeah. We're going to talk to Goody at 5 o'clock today. They were going to do it this afternoon, and since you and I talked earlier today, they've kicked it up to 5 o'clock prime time. It'll be carried live, right, for that. Here's one thing we know for sure. Ed Policy didn't get in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, want to give away the next year and the year after that's first-round pick and a veteran leader like Kenny Clark? Let's roll the dice, baby. Let's go for it.
Well, in the couple of minutes we have left here, Mike Clemens, I mean, nobody has a crystal ball, but you got it. Most people are looking at this saying this is the piece they might have needed to truly make the Packers a legitimate Green Bay or a Super Bowl contender this year.
Do you remember the day that we found out that the Packers came up second and Khalil Mack went to the Chicago Bears right. And all of Chicago said, here we come, Super Bowl? Right. How'd that work out?
Not so hot. Not so hot as it turned out.
But you know, I'll say this. You know, I think Micah Parsons is coming here because he was embarrassed about 18 months ago when the Packers went down there and beat the heavily favored Cowboys in that playoff game, the wild card playoff, I think it's like 48-32 or so. And I think he was impressed by the other side, by the way that they had schemed him, the plays they were running, the efficiency, the coaching of Jordan Love as a young quarterback. And now he's joining the, you know, if you can't beat him, join him kind of a thing.
Right.
And when you're talking about trying to get back the domination of the NFC North after what the Lions have done, now the Vikings, and now they've added Ben Johnson to the Bears. If you tell me that you got Xavier McKinney now on the back end with a secondary, you got Edgerrin Cooper, that speedy inside linebacker to stop the run, and now your pass rushers Rashawn Gary and Micah Parsons, look out.
It's going to be a fun season, Mike Clemens. I appreciate your time. You're a busy guy. Thanks for joining us, giving us the latest. I know you'll continue to do that, our sports reporting on the hour. Mike, thank you so very much.
Appreciate you, Todd. Always a great show. Thank you.
All right. Appreciate you, Mike. Mike Clemens, everybody, our great sports reporter in Green Bay. Come on back. Billy Edwards Jr., the quarterback for the Wisconsin Badgers. Is he saying goodbye? We have new reporting from CBS after this. Don't go anywhere on the Civic Media Ready to.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back to the Todd Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, and it's Friday, TGIF, August 29th, 2025. We are live here at the world headquarters of Civic Media in downtown Madison. A little rain, falling light rain here in downtown. Zommers on the board. He was there at the camp last night. Zommers was. The Badgers, Wisconsin Badgers, kicking off the football season. Lots of anticipation by some. But boy, I watched the game. I had it on TV, the Big Ten Network, and I had the sound down. I was listening to LePang and Towser on the Badger Radio Network on via the Civic Media app. actually listened to WRCE last night on the app, and so listened to the game there and watched it on TV. A couple of takeaways for me. The positive side. I thought that the Badgers looked much more energetic, much more engaged. Their body language, their attitude on the field and on the bench was much better than I saw it last year, and that was a positive one. Number two, even though you're playing a MAC conference opponent, still Division I, and the defense had a shutout. Give them credit for that. Even though the offense for Miami of Ohio was not great. But the defense got a shutout. Defense looked okay. I thought that the offense, although they ran the ball more, was returned to the fullback position by all intent and purposes. That's good. But boy, the offense struggled. And probably most concerning, starting quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. went down. Zomers, quickly, what was your take last night being there at the game?
Well, yeah, it was my first time at Camp Randall. Very cool. And I'm glad I went. But yeah, there was a hush fell over the stadium as we realized that he was on the ground and not getting up. Like, oh no, this is bad, isn't it? Yeah. Thankfully, he was able to get up. But yeah, it was a little bit rough to watch, but we still did pull out a win. It was closer than maybe expected.
Closer than the experts predicted.
Which is what you said would happen.
As the great Lee Corso said, Sal likes to say, we're going to talk more about Coach Corso. I'll get it out yet. In hour number two here. Yeah, I said that Wisconsin would win 21-14. So they got the shutout, but it was about what I thought they'd score on offense. Here's new reporting. This is the important part from CBS within the last hour. Sources tell CBS Sports that the Wisconsin quarterback could return in time for that big game against Alabama in week three. Wisconsin quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. suffered a non-contact injury in the first half of the Badgers' season opener win over Miami of Ohio last night. And Zomer said, watching it on TV, he had handed off the ball and then was just kind of like finishing out the play, might have stumbled a little bit, but there was nobody by him when his knee that he had the brace on kind of gave out and immediately went to the turf and grabbed it. And the first thing you think of is, oh my gosh, an ACL and the Badgers have lost their starting quarterbacks in the last couple of years. And you think, oh my gosh, not again. But as you said, Zomers, he came back out of the tunnel and was in street clothes, was walking around, and was essentially served as a coach on the sideline for the rest of the night last night. According to CBS, the early word coming out of Madison per multiple sources is Edwards' leg injury is not expected to be a long-term issue. Full clarity is expected within the next 24 to 48 hours. But there is optimism building around the building that Edwards could return for Wisconsin's high-profile non-conference matchup with number 8 Alabama on September 13th. Wisconsin coach Luke Fickle did not have any updates on Edwards' status last night, though he expressed optimism that he was able to return to the sidelines in the 17-0 win. So again, I predicted a 21-14 Wisconsin victory, ended up being 17-0. Fickle said, quote, first things first, starting off, I don't have any answers on Billy. Don't know a whole lot. Good to see, though, that he was back out there and able to be part of the game with our team, things like that. Hopefully that was a really good sign that things are moving forward, but we won't have any updates right now, unquote. Edwards was a high-profile offseason addition for the Badgers from Maryland. He finished Thursday night's game 6-for-13 with 68 yards passing. Wisconsin inserted San Diego State transfer Danny O'Neill in Edwards' place. O'Neill led Wisconsin on a pair of second-half touchdown drives. I thought O'Neill looked pretty good. He was a starter, I believe, a true freshman starter at San Diego State last year and transferred to the Badgers. Danny O'Neill and Billy Edwards Jr. were in a battle to be the starting QB for Wisconsin, and Edwards won out. But I thought Danny O'Neill did himself well last night. Congratulations to the Badgers on their 17-0 win. It really wasn't quite as big a win as that because I think the last touchdown was like 4 minutes left.
Yeah,
something like that.
The first half was just 3 points.
3-0. 3-0 Wisconsin was your halftime score. And interesting that the Wisconsin Badgers, last time they played Miami of Ohio was 2015. And the score at halftime was 37-0. They went on to win like 56 or 58-0 in that game and gave, guess who? Paul Christ his first win as head coach of the Badgers. So when you look at what they did against, obviously, two completely different teams as far as personnel and coaching. But, boy, I know people were harping at me yesterday that saying, well, you only said Wisconsin's going to get four wins this year. I wish them all the best. I want them to win. I'm a Cardinal White fan. But I think it's going to be tough.
Like you said earlier, their energy did look good.
Yes.
So there is that. That is promising. But the rest of it, a little not as strong as you might hope.
No. And I hear there's some news that we'll pass on when we're able to do it on the next game. The Badgers' home game here coming up on the 6th of September. Looking forward to that with great anticipation. Come on back. There is more goodbye news. There are MAGA problems for the Republican Party. The bad Bradley hangs up her robe in the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. And who is leaving the U.S. Senate? We'll tell you on the other side. It's the Todd Lawball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Lawball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network on an afternoon where a lot of people are saying bye, bye, bye. It's Friday, August 29th, 2025. Zomer's on the board. The Republican Party out of sync, unlike the singers of that song, In Sync. I love this song.
It's great. It's fun.
It's goofy. It's upbeat. Yeah.
It is campy.
Welcome back, everybody. Glad to have you along on a busy, busy Friday. The Friday before Labor Day weekend, if you're already on the road, do so carefully. Some light rain coming down here at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison for Civic Media. Glad to have you along on a Friday. A quick update before we do politics here. Just talked about this right before the farm news. Channel 3000, Channel 3, Kyle Jones here in Madison. Just posting this, it appears that the Badgers dodged the worst of it last night. Quarterback Billy Edwards Jr. reportedly has a sprained knee now. They did an MRI. It came back clean this morning, which means that it was not a tear of the ACL or MCL. So they're listing it as a week-to-week situation with a knee sprain for Billy Edwards Jr. That's certainly good news for him, good news for the Badgers. So we shall see if he can make it back for next week against Middle Tennessee State here in Madison. It's an afternoon game at 3 o'clock. And then after that, the Badgers travel in game three to, as Keith Jackson used to say, Alabama. Alabama. That'll be quite a game. There are games happening just up the street at the Wisconsin Capitol this afternoon as we turn our attention to politics. The theme today, bye, bye, bye. That is what conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley is saying. The Wisconsin Supreme Court, I believe J.R. Ross at WisPolitics broke this earlier this morning. This is a story by another great reporter, Scott Bauer of the Associated Press. Bauer writes, a conservative justice on the Wisconsin Supreme Court said today she will not seek re-election, creating an open race for a seat on the court that's controlled 4-3 by liberals. Justice Rebecca Bradley's decision. Let me step away for a second from the story. I say, and it's our friend Matt Flynn, an attorney himself, friend of the show here, Matt Flynn calls her the bad Bradley, because for a long time you had Rebecca Bradley, the conservative, the bad Bradley, and then you had Ann Walsh Bradley from my hometown of Richland Center, the liberal, who is, we call her the good Bradley. So this is an Ann Walsh Bradley retired. She spent a few months as the chief justice before she retired here earlier this year, in just about a month ago. So this is the quote-unquote bad Bradley, Justice Rebecca Bradley, stepping down, will not run for a second full term. And Scott Bauer writes for the Associated Press, It comes after the conservative candidate for the highest court in the battleground state have lost each of the past two elections by double-digit margins. Both of those races broke national spending records, and the Liberal won in April despite heavy spending by billionaire Elon Musk. Liberal state Supreme Court candidates have won four of the past five races, resulting in them taking over the majority in 2023, breaking a 15-year run of conservative control. Regardless of who wins in this coming April election, liberals will maintain their 4-3 court majority until at least 2028. But if they can win next year, the majority would increase to 5-2. The open race comes as several high-profile issues could make their way to the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the coming months, including abortion, collective bargaining rights, congressional redistricting, and election rules. Chris Taylor, a state appeals court judge and former Democratic state lawmaker, is the only announced candidate so far. Bradley had said in April that she planned to run again, but ultimately changed her mind. The quote from Bradley today in her statement says, quote, "I will not seek re-election to the Wisconsin Supreme Court because I believe the best path for me to rebuild the conservative movement and fight for liberty is not as a minority member of the court," unquote. Bradley said her warnings about the court being controlled by, quote unquote, judicial activists, her words, went unheeded. And she goes on to say, Bradley, quote, "And Wisconsin is seeing the beginning of what is an alarming shift from thoughtful, principled judicial service towards bitter partisanship, personal attacks, and political gamesmanship that have no place on the court," unquote. Stepping away from the story, I don't know. To me, it seems like someone who's a little testy on the fact that the only real statewide MAGA Republican that has done well in Wisconsin here recently is Donald Trump. And, of course, Trump will not be on the ballot in 2026. Tony Evers, Sarah Rodriguez, Sarah Godlewski, Josh Call, all statewide candidates, Tammy Baldwin, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin, statewide candidate. And now Rebecca Bradley says, "I don't want any part of that." It reminds me of the old Seinfeld episode. There's one at the very end where Elaine and George Costanza's dad, Mr. Costanza, are getting into it. And he says, and he says at the end, he goes, "You want a piece of me?" And they start going at it just as the show ends. And so Rebecca Bradley, she was no part of a statewide election in this environment, apparently. Now, Judge Taylor has raised over $1 million, back to the AP story by Scott Bauer, since getting into the race. Her campaign manager, Ashley Franz, said in a statement after Bradley announced her decision, quote, that Bradley hasn't raised any money this year for a potential re-election campaign. Quote, "The incredible support for Judge Taylor shows how important this race is," unquote, the campaign manager said. Bradley was appointed to the Supreme Court by then Governor Scott Walker in 2015 and won election to a full 10-year term in 2016. Before joining the court, Bradley had served 3 years as a Milwaukee County Circuit Court judge and a year as a state appeals court judge. So we'll see. People already rumors. So the only announced candidate right now on either side is Judge Taylor, who's a liberal. So we'll see. Now there are all kinds of rumors, people saying that they're trying, it's an open race, right? So once, and I know this is not great news for people who are like, "I am so sick and tired of political ads." Well, hold your hats and hallelujahs, because 2026 is going to be crazy, because you're going to have a completely open governor's race, no incumbent running because Tony Evers not running for a third term, a completely open Wisconsin State Supreme Court race. The amount of money that's going to be flowing in, the amount of ads, The only winners here are Civic Media because of, and everybody, every other media company, because everybody's going to be putting ads on.
I can't wait.
I'm not saying I'm, hey, the money is nice, right, for the company, but.
Right. I just mean, I'm not looking forward to hearing and seeing all the ads.
Oh, me neither. Not at all.
These are going to be very important races.
Extremely important. And again, this is why people are saying, look, I'm so upset and ticked off over Donald Trump and MAGA. I feel like there's nothing I can do. Well, 2026 is going to be your year to do something. But you got to start laying the groundwork now. And that's just not being angry in a fist and dropping F-bombs. That means doing the hard work, as former President Barack Obama says, going out, signing people up to vote, register to vote, have a plan to turn people out to vote, making sure the truth is put out there between now and and remember, the Supreme Court race is in April, right? So you're going to have the Supreme Court race in April, and then you're going to have the midterm elections for Congress and the governor's race in the state legislature in, well, the primaries in August, and then the general election in November. So enjoy the clean airwaves now, i.e. no political ads right now. I guess there are that goofball Bill Berrien has an ad. But Rebecca Bradley is not the only MAGA GOPer saying bye, bye, bye. According to CNN, just to our southwest, Iowa Republican U.S. Senator Joni Ernst has decided not to seek re-election to a third term, according to people familiar with the decision, and is poised to make an announcement this week. Ernst, 55. Now, I look at her picture. I think she's 55. I'm 55. Do I look that old? I probably do. It's funny as you... By the way, this has nothing to do with anything other than the fact I talked about it yesterday in the show, and I'm very happy about this. I went and got my annual physical this morning. I can report to you, the listening audience, fit as a fiddle.
Excellent.
My blood pressure was perfect. My cholesterol is fine. No need for any sorts of medications. I've lost a couple of pounds, literally a couple. So I got to keep eating better, a little more exercise. But my hair is going, but I can't do anything about that.
Also, you'll be glad to know, I just looked up an up-to-date picture of Joni Ernst. You do not look that old.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. It's a hard job in the Senate. Hard. You age.
You really do.
By having all those staff people and the everything you have to do. It's not really that much. Well, I guess the hardest part about being a member of Congress, in my opinion, having had worked for one, is the travel. That's... You're traveling back and forth, assuming that you live in your home state and traveling back and forth.
Well, anyway, I mean, Joni Ernst probably doesn't care about looking old, just like she, says we're all going to die someday.
Yes. This, thank you, Summers. This is the woman who when that was brought up for COVID, right? Somebody was bringing up COVID vaccines.
Oh, I think it was getting rid of Medicare. Like, this is getting rid of Medicare.
That's right,
this is going to kill people. And she's like, you're all going to die anyway.
Right. Oh, you're all going to die anyway.
Well, and doubled down on it.
I guess the polling came back and said, Senator, that's an unpopular opinion. Ernst, 55, has been wrestling with the decision for months, but began telling friends in recent days. Her retirement creates an open Senate seat in Iowa. My paternal grandparents used to call it Iowa. Representative Ashley Hinson is making plans to jump into the race, one GOP official said. National Republicans anticipating Ernst's retirement have long said they believe Hinson would be a strong candidate. A crowded field of Democrats is already running. The party's primary field includes State Rep Josh Turek. I didn't know that. Josh Turek is a Paralympian, wheelchair basketball player. How about that? State Senator Zach Walls, Knoxville Chamber of Commerce Executive Director Nathan Sage, and Des Moines School Board Chair Jackie Norris. CBS first reported Ernst's decision. It's hard to say Ernst's decision. Ernst has come under fire. Here we go. Here we are. See, Zabros was the head of the national news. Come under fire since responding, quote, "We are all going to die," unquote, to a constituent at a town hall meeting who raised concerns about Medicaid cuts in Trump's policy mega bill. What do you think about these Republicans, these MAGAs saying bye, bye, bye to politics? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. We'll say hello right after this. Don't say goodbye on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media InSync Network, 8 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. Gone, right? That's the song?
That's the one.
Gone by InSync. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst, MAGA Republican, gone.
Although the song is about missing the person who's gone, so maybe it's not entirely appropriate.
Well, yeah, well, I like the wording, though. Not gone yet. Just announced she will not seek re-election.
Although, as she is so keen to remind us, she will be gone eventually, as yes, will all of us.
Yes, as we all will. Joni Ernst not running for re-election next year for Republicans in Iowa. Critical seat. Because the thinking in 2026 is that Democrats have a great chance to pick up the House of Representatives. It's a less than sure bet that Democrats could get the U.S. Senate. But with Ernst taking a powder and saying she's not, that's a big, big open seat. And Democrats have some good candidates. I follow this stuff on the socials. I follow way too much of it, to be honest. But I try to sacrifice my mental health for you, the friendly Civic Media listener. I spend 8 hours a day and give myself a rash watching the news so you don't have to.
This did happen. This is a fact. I've seen it.
Well, I mean, it was not in a person. It was just
no,
on my,
it was in a place that is acceptable.
It was on my torso.
Yes, it was an acceptable place to show.
But if you watch Missouri, I think, and also there's a guy in Maine. Now, these are people running as Democrats, who are veterans, military veterans, who are running on popular themes and very different than some of your stereotypical progressive lefty candidates. And there are some people in the Democratic Party who get it, that if you want to win these elections in red states or purple states, you have to connect with the people you're trying to ask the votes from. And I think some of these candidates in Iowa that have already announced on the Democratic side for U.S. Senate understand that. Like I say, Democrats have a great candidate, a guy in Missouri, can't think of his name, and also a guy in Maine. And they put out some great ads already. So, and if you look at the trends right now, our friend Trigvi Olson at the Lincoln Project does a lot of this at the Lincoln Institute for Democracy, has ongoing focus. Now, focus group is different than polling. Polling is they choose people randomly. Either they call them or they text them or whatever, and they take their temperature on different issues. A focus group can either be a one-off, or in Trigvi's case at Lincoln Institute for Democracy, they have the same people in Iowa, Minnesota, Michigan, I believe, and Wisconsin, and they keep bringing these same people back over the course of several months or years, and they ask them sometimes the same questions, sometimes new questions. So it gets a temperature of where people are at in these states, these critical, important states. And of course, nothing more critical when it comes to politics than Wisconsin. And what you're seeing is the numbers of the general public are not on the side of Republicans and MAGA. In fact, either just yesterday or this morning, House Speaker Mike Johnson, Republican, was on CNN. And this was really smart of CNN. They showed Speaker Johnson polling numbers from Fox News. Now, you've heard me say on this program before, I certainly don't agree with Fox News. It is entertainment. But for whatever reason, Rupert Murdoch has decided not to skew the polling and election parts of Fox News. So Fox News polls to date had been widely regarded as very accurate. And so CNN put Speaker Johnson on the spot, showing him Fox News numbers, says the question, do you approve or disapprove of the following elements of the new budget legislation, Trump's bill? No tax on tips, 70% approve. More defense funds, 61% approve. End EV tax credit. They're underwater on that. Only 48% approve, 50% disapprove. End wind solar initiatives. 58% of the people, according to Fox News, disapprove. Reduce SNAP benefits. 65% of people, according to Fox News, disapprove of that. And according to Fox News, in the Trump bill, $5 trillion increase to the national debt, 74% of Americans disapprove of that, according to Fox News. And so they asked Speaker Johnson about this, CNN. And he stumbled his way around and gave a non-answer. But my point is that if Democrats and progressives stick to particularly financial things like this on the debt to SNAP benefits, which are cutting help to the most needy friends, neighbors, and family, if they stick to things like Medicare and Medicaid, things are going to impact every Wisconsinite, every American eventually, they can win. But they can't get detoured by the divisive social issues, because that will kill them politically, Democrats. So I'm glad to see that these candidates in Iowa, Democrats, many of them on the right track in Missouri and in Maine, and that is despite some lackluster leadership from the national Democrats, my least favorite Martin, Ken Martin, the chair of the Democratic Committee. So let's hope that this is a great opportunity in Wisconsin to have a thoughtful justice in this open seat after Rebecca Bradley announced she will not run next year. And it's going to be an interesting race for governor as well in the state of Wisconsin, another open seat. Come on back, we have a little news, sports, news and weather update for you. And then we're going to come back with our old friend, my former broadcasting colleague, Kevin O'Connor. Talk a little bit of what's worse for you if you're a Cowboys fan or a Bears fan today. And also, going to talk about the departure of Lee Corso from College Game Day. Hour 2 is straight ahead on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.